Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Excited to be midweek tonight. Y'all excited to be here? I am excited about what God wants to say tonight. Tonight's more of a teaching night. It's going to be good. If you brought your Bibles tonight, let's go to the book of Genesis, all the way back two to one. I always loved it when I was coming up in church and the pastor would say, turn to Genesis, because I knew where that book was. Or Revelation. I knew where it was, but I didn't understand it too much. Genesis 1, 1 and 2. Let's just dive right in tonight. It's going to be really good stuff. I hope you're taking notes tonight, because I really believe the subject is going to be one that'll hit home and that'll help you tonight. Genesis 1, 1 says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, I'm going to skip down to verse 26 and 27, but I actually want to just fill in the gap right here. I'm not going to read through all of this, but I want to fill in the gap. Verse 3 kind of reads this way: then God said, let there be light, and there was. So basically, God's creating this thing out of nothing. And then he says, let there be light, and there was light. And then verse 6, then God said, let there be space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. Verse 20, did I read 20? I didn't do it, did I? Here we go. Then God said, let the waters swarm with fish. That's a southern version. Let that swarm. That's a swarm of fish. Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. And it happened. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals, and that scurry. Southern slang, there again, scurry along the ground, and wild animals. Verse 26, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Verse 27, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Did I already have verse 18? Yeah, I'm going to go there too. So I'm going to go Genesis 2, 18. I'm just kind of setting this thing up so you can see the importance of what God has done and then our role in this thing. So Genesis 2, 18 says, then the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. We were created and wired. You and I were created and wired for connection. Okay, we were not meant to do life alone. Tonight, I want to speak from the subject, and again, it's just a talk. It may even become an interaction for the next 25 minutes. Let's just dive in, but I want to speak to you from the subject, disconnected. Disconnected. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word tonight, God. I thank you that it inspires us, encourages us, God, and it has the power to change us from the inside out. Father, I ask tonight for the next few moments that we will lean into your word, and God, that it would change us, Father, and do a work in us tonight. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. So have you ever been on the phone with a customer service rep from AT&T, Verizon, DirecTV, whoever your service provider of anything? Ever been on the phone with them, and you've got an issue, and you're trying to work this thing out? You're trying to, you know, you're going through the whole spiel. You're trying to remain Christian, Christ-like. Anybody? Yeah. You're trying to keep cool, not that she knows or he knows. You're trying to do that, and you get all the way through this thing. You're just telling them all the details of what's frustrating, what we need to make right, and then you wait for that pause for them to come back and tell you how they're going to correct it. You ever been there? But then all of a sudden, you notice you've been disconnected. Luckily, they've come up with this thing where, Mr. Weber, may I have your number in case we get disconnected? I love that, because I don't want to have to dial back through and go through all the prompts. I'm not going to lie to you, I actually write down the prompts as I'm going that way in case I ever have to call back. I don't have to wait for the instructions. I'm just like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, whatever it is. I don't care. Hopefully I get them right and I don't get Spanish, because then I'm just doomed. I'm going to have to hang up. But have you ever been there where you're so frustrated and you're disconnected? Two things happen in that moment. Number one, you're angry and you either call back in and you get a different customer service representative, and now you're having to regurgitate this whole problem all over again. Now your blood pressure is really high because you didn't get, you know, you didn't get so-and-so that you got the first time. I almost went somewhere and I just didn't play it safe. And so it's that way. I know y'all are like, dude, bless his heart. He's just, yeah, well, anyway. And two things happen. One, you get angry. You call him back in. Now you're having to re-explain this thing. And then they tell you, I'm sorry, Mr. Weber, this can't be, we can't help that, we can't change this. And what do? You get mad, you hang up and go, fine, just disconnect the service on our own. We're choosing to do that. Anybody ever done that before? Fine, I'll go find AT&T, or I'll go find Verizon, or I'll go find somebody else. You're just not giving me exceptional customer service. So that's either one scenario, or the other is that you're just like, you don't even call back when you get disconnected. You're just like, what's the use? So you just settle for whatever the issue is. You don't even care because you got too much else on your plate. You don't want to have to redo that again. And you just settle. And then, therefore, you don't even get to take advantage of all the other things that provider has to offer. Why? Because you've settled. Sometimes we settle in our marriages. Sometimes we settle in relationships. Because it's too much work. We would rather just let stuff be like it is, and we're not able to take full advantage. Therefore, we're disconnected. Anybody ever felt disconnected before? Have you ever been disconnected in a relationship? Maybe a family member. You've purposely disconnected. Sometimes there's a disconnect that is healthy, but there are also disconnects that are unhealthy. Maybe it's in the church. Maybe people get disconnected in the church because so-and-so didn't talk to me, or so-and-so didn't respond the way that I felt that they do. And a lot of times, two things happen, same as the phone conversation. We either get angry and we go, psh, I'm done, forget forward. I'm going to another church, or I'm not going to church at all. Feel like God failed you, so you disconnect from church. Anybody ever been there before? I mean, let's just be honest. I've been there. We've all, if we're honest tonight, I think we've all been there. The enemy, listen, does not care that you're in this building tonight. The enemy does not care that you're here tonight. What he cares is if you actually connect with the source, or that you connect with what God is doing. Again, we were created on purpose, for a purpose, and we were created for relationships. We were created for connections. And so the enemy does not care that you're here as long as you don't connect. And let me say this tonight, because I don't want anybody to think that you're saying, well, Pastor B, is there somebody angry at the church? Is there somebody angry that's leaving? Not to my knowledge. I always want to be a precautionary pastor. I don't want to be a reactionary pastor. I don't want to react, find out that something's happening, therefore now I'm going to preach a message about something's happening. I know what's already happening in the body of Christ and how the enemy tries to persuade us to give in, throw in the towel, and walk away. And so I want to have this precautionary talk tonight that the enemy's main goal is to get us to disconnect. The enemy does not want us to be connected. So why is being connected so important? Say it again. To grow. I heard when you're slipping, somebody can catch you, help you grow, and you said stronger together. It's why we were created. We were created. You can write this down. I'm just going to give you three things of why it's important to be connected. Some of you are thinking, I don't feel like this talk is important. I promise you, it is. Because there are many people that walk in and out of this room on Sundays and Wednesdays who do not connect with what God's doing in the house. And connection, and we're gonna talk about this tonight. Connection is very, very important, because you can walk in and walk out and not leave with anything. You're walking out with the same baggage and the same stuff that you walked in with. And I believe that God wants to have, he wants there to be a transfer. He wants to take what you have and he wants to give you what he has. So why is it so important to be connected? First, the first one is this, is we were created for connections. We just read that. God said it is not good for man to be alone. Yes, he was referring to the husband and wife scenario or a partner, but also even into Genesis 1, if you read it, that's why he created the birds of the air and all of these animals, because it wasn't good for him just to have a place and drop man in it with no responsibilities, nothing to do, nothing, no one to interact with. Now, I know I used to be that guy that I just would rather come into church and nobody talk to me. Mainly because, I know you find that really hard to believe. And it was because that was my protection mechanism. One, because I knew that I wasn't perfect and I felt like people had an expectation of what they felt like I should have. And if they came inside that bubble, they would see that I was imperfect and that they would run. That's why a lot of people don't come to church. You ever heard that saying? Well, if I come to church, the roof will fall in. Right? I felt like if people really knew that I was real. I had a conversation just today with a friend of mine back in Georgia. He used to run sound for us at our ministry. Today was his birthday, so I reconnected with him today, and we were just talking about that very thing about we put on this. We're afraid to let people into our world. We're afraid of letting people know that we're real. And he was sharing with me, he said he sells insurance, and he was telling me how he actually had a pastor come into his office this week, and he was talking about in that particular church, it was a very prominent couple that's very well known in the church, is a rather large church, and they were going through a divorce, and they were getting ready to publicly make this announcement of the divorce. And the pastor was, you know, so afraid of what was going to happen inside the church because of the platform that this couple was on. And I said, that's why at our little ministry in Florida, I said, one of the things that I want to make sure that people understand is none of us in the room are perfect. Not even the people holding the mic under the lights or teaching are perfect, because two things happen. Number one, if you find out that I'm not perfect, then it rocks your world and you disconnect, right? Or it can totally just sabotage what God is really trying to do. So I just think from the very beginning, people need to understand nobody's perfect. And God wants to use that imperfection to show people who he is. Amen? So I just like to take off that. And the other side of that is if they feel like, well, he's so perfect, I can never do that. So then they disconnect and walk out because I can never become that. I always want to be a leader that says, you know what? I just want to be real, real and raw all the time. And that's what people are attracted to. That's what connects people to Christ. Okay, let's keep moving. So number two, connections balance our lives. Connections give us balance. And I wrote this down. The more connections that we have, the larger your perspective will be. The more connections we have, the larger our perspective will be. If all I have is a small circle of people around me, my perspective is very narrow and small. But if Lavelle knows some things about an area that I need to learn, he can help me. And so my perspective, what? It grows. So your perspective and your world gets larger. I mean, whenever we have work done at the house, I'm not a big handyman. I know that doesn't surprise you. But any time that I've had people come to the house, dude, I'm right out there with them. Not that I can, not, it's not even that I'm, that, and I let them know, I'm not here to make sure you're doing it right. You're the professional. I trust you. You're being paid to handle this. I'm there because I'm learning. I want to know what you did. So maybe next time I got to call you and save me that service call. Hello, somebody, right? So I'm watching. So dude, if something happens to my air conditioner and I saw him, you know, outside of the unit and I saw him just take see, I told you I'm not a handyman. That screwdriver, and he just tapped on that thing, and it just came right back on. I just paid you $150 to show up and tap that. Mm-mm. So guess what B's out there doing? I'm unscrewing stuff or moving that big old gigantic thing. I'm out there, tick, 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 whatever it takes. Why? Because my perspective is getting larger. I'm learning, and I'm growing through connections. I'm also out there going, hey, doing what I do best, talk. Hey, can I get you a water? That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're there to serve. So I'm using that moment. Yes, I'm learning. So I ain't got to call him back. But I'm also being a part of the body, an extension of the body of Christ, and I'm asking questions about his world. And I mean, I've had some of the best conversations. We've had a lot of stuff fall apart at our house since we purchased it and had to bring people to the house. And I'm just having conversations and just watching people open up just because I'm just simply asking, hey, what's your story? And their perspective is getting larger. They didn't even ask for it. They're actually now seeing that a pastor is actually about them rather than what they can do for them, even though they're doing something for me at the time. But do you understand what I'm saying? They feel like pastors are only coming up because there's something in it for them. And I just, so their perspective's getting larger. They're getting a new perspective of what church should be and what Christians should be. Amen? So connections, they give us balance. If you ever feel like you're out of balance, that's probably because you're carrying too much weight that you need to have somebody else with you help you tote that thing. Right? Number three, connections increase our strength. Somebody said that. Stronger together, better together. Connections increase our strength. Let's read. Let me just read this real quick, and then we'll go to Ecclesiastes, because this really, and this is the Message translation of a verse that you know. And this is, again, this was not a talk that was put together because I'm trying to make sure we fill seats every Sunday, okay? A lot of times people think when a pastor talks about staying committed to the church, it's because of other elements. It's not. The only element that I'm concerned with is your health, spiritually and physically. Because I believe that if we're out of balance spiritually, there'll be some issues physically. I believe that it should all be together. So the reason we're even having this talk isn't because there's empty chairs. It's because I'm concerned and passionately concerned that you, there's more that God wants for you. But if you're disconnected, if you only drop in when it's convenient, if it's not a priority, we talked about this Sunday that Jesus wants us to follow him, and that we say following him is more better than anything else that I have going on. Okay? So the reason we're talking about this is because God wants the very best for you, but we must stay connected. Amen? So let me read this. Hebrews 10:25 in the Message translation says it this way. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. So we have a responsibility to encourage each other, to build each other up when we come in here. It's not just the pastor's responsibility. It's all of our responsibility to look out for one another. Amen? So let's move on into Ecclesiastes. And it says this. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in serious trouble. That's why it's important, because guess what? We're going to go through life, and we're going to be on this thing, and all of a sudden, we trip up and we fall. But if you're alone, guess what? You're on your own to get back up. And how many know sometimes when you fall and you're by yourself, remember them commercials, I'm falling and I can't get up. You don't need a lifeline around you. When you're connected with somebody, we are the lifeline. We are the extension of, we are the body. Therefore, when somebody falls, it's our responsibility not to go, hey, what's wrong with you? Man, I can do that. You ever seen the church preach a message like that? Why'd you fall? You shouldn't have failed. You should be further along in this thing. Let me tell you something. It don't matter how long you've been walking this thing, this journey. It does not matter. You are not exempt from trip-ups and mess-ups and mistakes and falls. I don't care what anybody tells you. And whatever they try to do, try to convince you, you're not exempt. No one is exempt. But when you fall, if you're together, they'll help bring you back up. Amen? So we need each other. Nudge that person next to you and tell them, we need each other. We need each other. We need each other. All right, so let me go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, and I'm just going to go ahead and just jump in there. You can write this down or check it out on the screen. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. I'm going to move down to verse 14 and go through 22, and it says this: Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand," that does not make it any less part of the body. I don't want to move through this because I'm watching the time. I want you to understand this right here. I've heard these conversations in churches, and so have you. Some of you have been involved in these conversations. Listen, and if the ear says, "I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye," what would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Everybody say, I want to be where you want me. Yeah. How strange a body would it be if it had only one part? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Let me read verse 27. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So what happens to the body if a part of it got disconnected? What would happen, let's say it this way, what would happen if my arm got severed? What would happen to my arm? Yes, it would be gone. I think medically there's a time frame. I was looking for Miss Sally to confirm this, but I think medically there's a time frame where there would still be life, where it could be reattached, and there wouldn't be any issues with it, right? But if it became detached, it would die. What would happen to the body? Well, one, it would suffer shock. When I went back to my notes today, I wrote in there shock. Because two things will happen. One, the body would experience the pain, but first it would be a shock. I don't know if you've ever been a part of a ministry or watched somebody walk out. It's a shock. And then there's hurt. But what about the limb that got severed? It's disconnected. Colossians 2:19 says, they refuse to take hold of the true source, who is Jesus. But we receive directly from him, and his life supplies vitality into every part of his body through the joining ligaments connecting us all as one. Then it goes on to say, he is the divine head who guides his body and causes it to grow by the supernatural power of God. A dismembered body part cannot grow. It's done. And there's nothing else you can do to it. In order for growth to happen, I must stay connected to the body. I must stay connected. I must stay planted. I remember a couple years back, I think I did a message here where I was talking about you can't grow where you're not planted. And a lot of people, and I was using the illustration, I think I had a pot of really good potting soil, and then I had a beautiful flower. And it was almost like every time we come to church, I'm talking about hit or miss Christians. Just because I put it in that good soil for a few minutes and then I take it back out, I'm not saying I'm going to another pot. I'm just saying I got enough nutrients, I think, to get me by. But how many knows after a while that plant, if it's not planted and pruned and all of the other elements that need to happen, it will not grow and it will die. So we must get connected. We must get planted. You can't grow where you're not planted. All right, let's do this real quick. Four reasons Christians need the church. I want you to write these down. Four reasons that Christians need the church. This is it, and then we're done. The first one, we need other Christians. I need you. You need me. Somebody read Psalms 1 and 2 real quick for me. That was 1 and 2. If you want to know what you really believe, just listen to what your friends say. Now, I understand that people you work with, close proximity with, you don't really have a say, but I'm saying people that you would consider friends, that you would hang out with. If you really want to know what you believe, listen to what they say. Because no matter what, eventually what they feel is going to rub off on you. You'll either change or you'll get really, really quiet and then you'll disconnect from where your passion was. The more time we spend with ungodly people, the more we allow their attitudes to affect our thoughts, attitudes, our own attitudes, and decisions. The more time we spend with God's people in his presence, the more we look like Jesus. And the more like him we become. So we need other Christians. Number two, we need opportunities to discover our spiritual gifts. This is a big one. We all have a skill set that God wants to use to help others know and follow him. We all have skill sets that God wants to use. Kobe Bryant did not know he was going to be a great basketball player until he started playing basketball. Justin Bieber did not know he was going to be a successful singer until he started singing. You will not know what it is that God wants you to do until you start doing it. What I mean by that is because that every one of you have a gift and a talent that God could use to build his house, to build his kingdom, and to ultimately point people to him. Amen? And a lot of people just don't know that they've got that in them because they don't sign up to do this or they wouldn't volunteer to do that. Number three, we need authority. This is a tough one. We need authority. Hebrews 13, 17. Somebody got that for me? Hebrews 13, 17. What translation is that? Is that the Passion Translation? That's what I thought. God appoints men and women in the church to lead, to teach, and to guide. And the reason that I'm here, and I'll say it every week if I have to, it's because I care. It's because I want to see you win. It's because I don't want to see, I want to see you overcome the things that is trying to overcome you. God gave us the Bible and the church to know what's from him. Because a lot of times you'll hear, just because somebody has a podcast, just because they have a YouTube channel and they call themselves a Christian, doesn't mean it's what God wants directly for your life, okay? And that doesn't mean that I'm always going to get it right either in communicating. But he's given us the word for you and I to go home and test what it is that you're hearing. Okay. Number four. And finally, we never stop needing grace. We never stop needing grace. Church people are not perfect. Pastors are not perfect. We are forgiven, but we're still sinners. You ever heard that? I'm a sinner saved by grace. That doesn't sit well with a lot of people because they feel like once I'm saved, I'm not sinning. I'm not a sinner. You a lie. Because I'm a sinner. And I need his grace every day. And when the church preaches that message, people can actually connect, stop disconnecting because they feel like I can never measure up to that perfect thing you're trying to tell. Mm-mm. There was only one who walked this earth who was perfect. And it's not me, it was Jesus. Amen? No matter how long you've been in this walk, every single one of us will screw up, fall short, and sin. And when you do, we need a place where we can come and get healed, that we can come and get restored, and a place that we can come and get renewed. And that's called the church. That's why we need each other. So tonight, what do I want you to know? That the enemy doesn't want you to connect to the church. What do I want you to do? Connect.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue his purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.